Please be seated in Jesus' name. This is the last Sunday in year 2019. We are at the cusp of the end of 2019 and the beginning of 2020. Something new is about to be born. Amen. A new season is about to be birthed. God is about to do something new in somebody's life. Amen. I know in Wisdom Assembly, God is about to do something new. Amen. In the lives of those who will be watching us online, God is about to do something new in your life in Jesus' name. The Lord who has brought us here will bring us into 2020 and beyond in Jesus' name. Your amen is so lame. I said the Lord God who has brought us thus far is going to see you and I through into the new year and many, many years to come. We are going to see the end of the new decade, and we are going to see the beginning of another decade by the grace of God. In the name of Jesus, if the Lord Jesus Christ will wait a little bit, we will see it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share with us this morning a message I've titled Going Forward and Waxing Great. Going Forward and Waxing Great. Hallelujah. It's always important to look back, to remember. What do we look back to remember? We don't want to look back and remember the negative things. We don't want to look back and remember the ugly things. But we want to look back and remember all that the Lord has done for us. All that the Lord has done in our lives individually and as a church. Even in the last decade, it will be a nice thing for each and every one of us before the crossover night to catalog all that God has done for you in the year 2019. If you can itemize them one by one, it's a matter of thinking. It's a matter of remembrance. Not being forgetful. So that you have something in your hand to look at and say, Lord, thank you. At the beginning of this year, we had expectations. Maybe not all of our expectations were met, but at least some of those expectations were met. That makes God to deserve a thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We look back to thank God, and we look back to plan for a better and a greater future. Amen. Can you remember how God has helped you? Can you remember how God has stepped in for you? Can you remember when men said there was no way? How God made a way for you and I? Can you remember when men say you cannot go beyond this? And God stepped in and says, I'm taking you further than this. Pharaoh said to Moses, you can go, but not very far. He said, pray for me. I always wonder, isn't it so true? The same people who wants to hold you back are still craving for you to pray for them. What kind of prayer does Moses want to pray for Pharaoh? That I say, oh, well, since you are holding us back, God bless you real good. May all the things you are doing work well. It's not possible. Said, you're not going very far. But the Lord Almighty broke the barrier. He took them far. He took them very far. That is why I know that you and I as a church, we are going far. And we are going very, very far. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 124, verse 1 through to 8. Psalm 124, verse 1 through to 8. He says, if it had not been the Lord, never forget this. Don't think that this to this end it is you. The Bible says, what do you have that you did not receive? Is it not the Lord that work in us to do of his will and his good pleasure? If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, when the devil instigated evil against us, then they would have swallowed us. They would have swallowed us alive. If God gave them the ability, they thought they had the ability. But God said, no, it's not in your hands. Your life, my life, our future is not in the hands of any wicked person. He says, when their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us if they were in control of it. The streams would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. They want to tear us down with their evil and negative words. They have eaten from us, but they abuse us behind our backs. They have taken from us, but they say now we are bad people. They have received the laying on of hands on her from us, but now they say they are not good people. If it had not been for the Lord, our soul had escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. Somebody say, the snare is broken. The limit is broken. And we are moving forward. We have escaped in Jesus' name. Verse 8. Our help. Oh, folks, don't forget. Your help, my help, is in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The creator of the heavens and the earth is the one who has helped us this far. And he will take you and I further. In Jesus' name. Folks, it is time, at this time, don't wait until watch night. Don't wait until we are now in 2020. Because I know, it's good to rejoice. Happy New Year! For some people, that's the end of it. We are more mature than that. Hallelujah. It's time to count our blessings. I repeat it again. It's time to count our blessings. Never forget what God has done. It will be your motivation moving forward. What are you taking with you into the new year? What is following you? What are you carrying with you into the new decade? I know that some things are better left in the past. I've learned that many years ago. Some things are better left in the past. Praise the Lord. Because the future is more valuable than whatever has happened in the past. Let me tell you something. No matter how much you have been blessed in 2019, it's a shadow of the blessing that God is about to unveil in your life in the new year. We are not going to hang on any negative past. Anything that has made you to question God's promises in your life. Anything that has made you to question God's faithfulness, you have to leave it in the past. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Hallelujah. He cannot deny himself. God is always faithful. Even whether we understand it or not, even whether we see what we expect to see yet and we have not seen it yet or not, God is faithful. He's still in control. So we must do our utmost not to live in the past. That is why, number one, unforgiveness must have no room in our heart. Unforgiveness becomes a weight that keeps anybody grounded. Your heart must be free for the movement of the Spirit of God. Your heart must be free to receive directions by the Holy Spirit. God's thoughts and plans for us is to move forward. God's thoughts and plans for us is to move ahead. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor. Come on, touch them and say, neighbor, look ahead and go forward. Say, neighbor, look ahead and go forward. Neighbor, look ahead and go forward. Do you know, when Moses cried to the Lord at the edge of the river, of the Red Sea, in Exodus 14 verse 15, the Bible says, and the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? What was Moses crying about? He was crying about what was behind them. The armies of Pharaoh, they were riding so fast, raising so much dust. And God said, my son, tell everybody, go forward. Stop looking behind. You have left Egypt. You have left the ugly past. You have left the wicked behind. Go forward. Tell your neighbor one more time. Look ahead and go forward. There's no way we can put our hands in the past and move forward. We can't put our hands in the past and move forward at the same time. There are greater things that God is going to do in this ministry, that God is going to do through you, that God is going to do in you, that God is going to do through your family, that God is going to do in your family if you don't look back. Listen to me, church. If it's not a testimony, it's not worth remembering. Did you hear me? If it is not a testimony, don't bother remembering it. It will hold you back. If it is testimony, it will motivate you forward. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Revelation 12 and verse 10, I'll paraphrase, that we can only overcome how? By the word of our testimony, not by our experience of the past, not by the ugly experience of the past, not by who hurt me, things I couldn't do. Hey, we have an opportunity to do it better. Praise the Lord. Did you hear me? If I couldn't do it in 2019, I have an opportunity to do it better, to approach it better in 2020. And you will do it better. I say you will do it better. Am I talking to somebody? The Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, no one having put his hand to the plow. No one, anybody, putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for what God wants to do. No one putting their hands to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom. You are not going to be fit for God's plan and purpose. And let me tell you something. If you make yourself unfit for God's plan and purpose, God will raise up somebody else that will be fit for his plan and purpose. The mistake Moses made was to respond to the people. Hallelujah. That brought anger in him. I know a couple of weeks passed during prayer time. I'm sure those who are on the prayer line will have wondered what's wrong with this man this morning. What kind of prayer is this? It wasn't my plan. I didn't plan to pray that. I had the prayer points I wanted to pray. But God took it over. God put an anger, a holy anger in me. And after that day, it's gone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We must position ourselves ready for what God wants to do. I pray that you will not be replaced. In Jesus' mighty name. Because if I don't do it, I keep saying this thing over and over again. If Moses, because of what Moses allowed to happen, it did not mean the children of Israel ended in the wilderness. Praise the Lord. Moses was the one who wrought the miracles, who wrought the signs, who wrought the wonders. Can you imagine if Moses had said that day, well, if you are going to kill me, God, then these people are going to remain in the wilderness. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Amen? That's a lie. All they needed was not Moses. All they needed was God. The same God went to a young boy. Hey, stop crying. Moses, your boss, is dead. Stop crying. As a matter of fact, you must know, I killed him and I buried him. Stop crying. You are going to continue the job. And Joshua did it. What Moses started, Joshua concluded. Praise the Lord. All the glory is God's, not any human being. Praise the Lord. I've said it and I'm going to say it again. There is no superstar in the kingdom. Jesus is the only superstar. The Lord said in Jeremiah 7 and verse 23 and 24, but this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all my ways, in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. You see, these are the important things. Yes, they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed their counsels and dictates. They think they know better. They followed their own counsel and the dictates of their evil hearts. Instead of going forward, they went backward. You will not go backward. I say you will not go backward. You will not go backward. From here on, things can only get better. In the name of Jesus, by the grace of God, things will only get better. In Jesus' name, I declare it, I believe it, I prophesy it. Things can only get better in your home, in your family, in your body, in my home, in my family, in our children. Things can only get better. In Jesus' name. I want you to be excited about what God is about to do in your life, Be excited. Be excited about what God wants to do in your life. Hallelujah. Be excited about what God wants to do through you. Be excited about what God wants to do in your family and through your family. Don't we all know? Life is not perfect. Oh, when we look at the things that have happened to us this year individually, as a people, as a church, who would have thought? Some things happened that you are like, you're going to be like, I never thought it would be like this. Because life is not always perfect. Sometimes, most times, challenges get in the way. Why do challenges come? They either stop you, delay you, or you are strengthened by it. And we cannot stop because of the things that get in our way. We cannot stop. We cannot end things because of the challenges that rose up against us. When challenges come, what we do is we take those challenges and we push them aside. That, hey, you can't stop me. I'm better than you. I keep them aside and keep going forward. What did Nehemiah say when Sanballat and Tobias sent messengers repeatedly? It's like a nagging evil. Evil messages continually. Look at Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Nehemiah said, so I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Why should what I'm doing stop? I leave it and come down to you. Verse 4. What did they do? They sent again. But they sent this message. How many times? 4 times. How did he answer them the same way? 4 times he answered them the same way. I can't stop. Because I have to keep going. I have to keep moving. You have to keep looking ahead. You are not where you are meant to be yet. We are not where we are meant to be yet. We must keep forging ahead. At your job, you have not reached the highest level. You must keep forging ahead. In your business, you have not achieved all. You must keep forging ahead. In your academics, you've not reached the height. You must keep forging ahead. You must keep going in spite of all the challenges that may surround you. Are you having challenges in your marriage? You must keep together because it's the plan of the enemy to separate. Two people, one direction. A lot of people in the church, one direction. And we can take examples even from the things that happen in heaven, that when God opens our eyes to see, I've shared with us before, I'll repeat it before I close. I had that experience. I saw my life, my spirit leaving my body, and I was translated to a place I've never been before. I can't describe how beautiful. All I saw was a huge fence with a massive gate. I can't describe how big. I looked on my right and left. I can't see the end of the fence. But before the massive gate were huge beings with swords in their hands, in one line on one side and on another side, one line. One foot was not ahead of the other. Everybody was on the same line. I was happy. I knew it was heaven. I made it to heaven. Marching majestically to go through the lines of these huge soldiers. That's the way I would describe them. Before I could pass through, all of them at the same time cross their sword. Like, go back. I got instructions. Before I came back inside my lifeless body that I was looking at on the ground. When Paul said, I was taken to the third heavens, I couldn't describe it. That's the same experience I had many years ago. Hallelujah. The Bible says about angels in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 9. Ezekiel 1 and verse 9. He says, their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn. When they went, they did not turn. What did they do? But each one did what? Went straight forward. You are going forward. Amen. I say we are going forward. As a church, we are going forward. As a family, we are going forward. You as an individual, you are going forward. In Jesus' name. What does the enemy want us to do? The enemy wants us to turn. But we must be determined. We must be determined to go forward with God. I would rather go forward with God than turn with men. I would rather go forward with God than turn with man. I would rather go forward with God than turn with man. We must move forward in our ways of thinking. And I'm not talking about New Age thinking. I'm talking about scripture thinking, Holy Spirit thinking, thinking the thoughts of God. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, the thought of good and not of evil. Let's begin to think the thoughts of God. God is a big thinker. That's why when spies were sent to spy the promised land, who did they meet there? They met giants, because God wants to give you big things. God wants to give me big things. What kind of houses will a giant live in? What kind of car will a giant drive? A giant will not drive Cinque Cento. You know what Cinque Cento is? Or Fiat Uno. No! A giant would rather drive a Suburban. Who doesn't want to drive a Suburban? God wants to give you a Suburban. You say, no, let me focus on Cinque Cento or Fiat Uno. You are afraid of Suburban. The food that the big giants eat, they carried a proof of it and brought it to the camp. Two people carried a cluster of grapes. God wants to give us big things. Each time I remember what my father in the Lord said, that God said he's going to build an auditorium the size of Ibadan, the biggest city in West Africa. Let me tell you something. Something wakes up on the inside of me. My faith just rises and it shoots up, because I may not have the faith to that point, but my faith will rise to a level. God began to remind me some of the prayers he asked us to pray in the just concluded Congress. That prayer has got to inspire you to do things nobody has ever done before, to ask for things that nobody has ever asked before. Oh, you know, I don't want to be greedy. With God, be greedy. Lord, I want it all. Big thinking. From today, let your mind be open. Think big, see big things, pursue big things. The devil wants us to be diminished. We can't join the devil in diminishing ourselves. We can't join the devil to diminish ourselves. No. God has a greater plan for you, for me. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, God has a greater plan for you. You better connect to that plan now. Let me tell you something, church. The reason why we need each other, we need God, we need the Word of God, our prayer lives, because we need to think big spiritually. Spiritually, we need to think big. We may be in a lowly place right now, but we can say, Lord, we want Kansas City. Who says he cannot give us Kansas City? He says, I will give you nations. I will give you the heathen. Somebody say, Father, thank you for giving us Kansas City. In Jesus' name, amen. Five areas that I want you to start thinking big. Your spiritual life. Don't think God cannot answer your prayers. Don't think it's a waste of time to wake up early, 5:30 a.m. and join the brethren to pray. Some of us don't care about it at all. And we don't have even the woman of God came and said, we don't have an individual prayer life. Think big for your family. Think big for your family. Your health. Think big about it. There's the place of faith, but make sure you go for checkup regularly. Don't leave things. Go for checkup. See your doctor at least twice a year. I want to do a full checkup. Women, go and do your pap smear. Don't leave it. Oh, I'm okay. I don't feel any. Go and do it. Think big concerning your finances. Think big concerning your careers. These are five major areas we need to start plotting, praying, planning. There's increase coming, and it will come your way, it will come my way. If we are ready for it, if we are prepared for it. Expect big things. Don't just expect it. Walk towards it. Walk towards big things. Some of us here are meant to be owners of hotels in Kansas City. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. You see, your brain told you you can't have it. Your brain is telling you I can't own a hotel. They may put Marriott there, but you are the owner. I said there are people here who are hotel owners in Kansas City.
There are people here who are apartment building owners in Kansas City.
Don't let your salary limit you. I told us last week, what's the percentage of black people? I'm a black man, so I have to talk about that. What's the percentage of black people and their influence in the economy of this city? What's their influence? I've been in a place in this city before. I was the only black man. And I went to make a case for myself. I stood before the mayor was seated, everybody. I made a case for myself. I made them to understand I'm a contributor in this city. Somebody say, I'm a contributor. Come on, say it like you believe it. Hallelujah. Don't be part of with the mentality. Take. Let's contribute something. Can you imagine? The other day I was in New Jersey. The hotel where I was staying was owned by Indians. All the people working there were Indians. Go to McDonald's, you won't see Indians there. You won't see Chinese there. It's your color and my color. Even holiday job, you won't see them there. Come on, folks, let's wake up. Let's wake up. I was thinking about a friend of mine in Jamaica. I've spoken about him before. He will be here sometime. He was working in a security company. He was a security guard. Then he now started working with the owner of the security company with the electrical part of things. To cut a long story short, today is the biggest, he owns the biggest security company in the whole of the Caribbean. I'm not kidding, I'm not joking. In the whole of the Caribbean, the banks, the big offices in the whole of the Caribbean is the biggest. I was still with him in New Jersey not too long ago. He started from there. But he didn't see himself like that. I gotta do something about this. Praise the Lord. 10 years is past, a decade. Another decade is about to start. What will your story be? What will your story be? You are not at a disadvantage because of your color. You are at a disadvantage because of your thinking. I'll say it again. You are not at a disadvantage because of your color. You are at a disadvantage because of your thinking. Let's think outside the box. Look at Isaac. You have to give me 5 more minutes. Look at Isaac. Isaac knew the God of the exceedingly, the abundantly, and the above, who can do beyond that which we think or ask or imagine, whatever. In Genesis 26, verse 13. Look at how Isaac started. The Bible says this was the end of him. The man began to prosper. How? And continued prospering until he became very prosperous. That will be your story in Kansas City. That will be my story in Kansas City. But how did he get there? Let me show you. Genesis 26. I want us to scroll down. The Bible says from verse 19. Let's read from verse 19. Watch this. I talked about challenges earlier. And also Isaac's servant dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. Big business. What happened? But the herdsmen of Gerar, challenges, quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the place of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. What happened? They challenged him. Amen. Then they dug another well. What did he do? He moved on. He kept on moving forward. He moved forward. He dug that. The challenges came. He moved forward. He pushed the challenges aside. If I can dig there and I found water, I can move forward and I will find water again. He dug there another well. They quarreled over that one also. So he called his name Sitna. And he moved from there. He kept moving forward. He didn't let their challenges, their quarrels stop him. And they did not quarrel over this one until he found his Rehoboth. Let me tell you something about Isaac. I will reiterate it. I said it, I will repeat it. He pushed the challenges aside. Somebody say, challenges, get out of my way. You see, sometimes you want to stay in a place and be arguing. No, 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 no. You can't argue. How can you argue with a fool? How can you argue with stupidity? You move on away from foolish fools. Move away from stupid stupidities. You keep moving forward. Somebody say, I'll keep moving forward. One thing you find Isaac is, he did not stop digging. He did not do what? He didn't stop digging. He did not stop digging. He did not stop digging. He knew he had to keep digging. He continued digging until he found his own, which nobody could quarrel with him for. A point will come, challenge you, to say, you better leave that man alone. He won't pay us mind, though. Let's rise up on our feet. I am going higher. Yes, I am. I am moving forward today. I am moving forward. Yes, I am. I am moving forward today. I want you to lift up your voice and begin to receive the grace to move forward. And begin to receive the grace to move forward.